Murfreesboro.
This is FM 100.5, 101.9, AM 1450, and WGNSradio.com. Rutherford County's place to talk.
This is The Truman Show with Truman Jones. A look at the politics, news, sports, and people that are shaping Rutherford County. Now your host, Truman Jones.
Me started on politics. Good morning, Rutherford County. I think you heard one of our guests right there, Mr. Steve Cates. And we have Mr. Ben Cates, brothers, of course, and some of Kittrell and Readable's finest. And, you know, I was thinking this morning on my way in, guys, that, you know, it was almost like heaven growing up there. It was just almost perfect.
Come on now, let's don't carry it too far.
I'm gonna get an argument no matter what I say.
They'll
this
think
morning.
You're an old man looking back, reminiscing with rose-colored glasses on.
Yeah, but you know, we got to be special because, you know, you had Scarlett O'Hara, and she got her strength from the red earth, the terra,
yeah,
and
yeah.
We get ours from the rocks of Kittrell and Readable.
Yeah, but you didn't stay with us. You left Kittrell. You were gone before we hardly knew you were there.
Hey, I had my good time right. there, big guy.
Your roots were right there, weren't they?
My roots will always be
Well,
there.
You talking about everybody. I said this to a group the other day at Ms. Elizabeth Vance's funeral, and that was that everybody talked about Miss Ruby. She taught everybody in that area first grade,
she
and
did.
Then, of course, she practiced basketball during her lunch time. I could see her now leaving the lunch room with a plate mm-hmm. covered with a napkin, and she would go back and eat while the children were resting. And I told people at the funeral that she gave me the opportunity to go back home. You know, they say you mm-hmm. can't go back home, but she stepped down. She never said this, and we never talked about it, but I think she actually stepped down from coaching when I graduated from MTSU to go back out there and have the privilege of coaching where I was raised and graduated, and my parents and brother, we all went to Kittrell.
And our grandmother.
Grandmother.
1904.
Mm-hmm. And my children went to Kittrell. So
our only first cousin.
It was just a special thing to get to do that.
Miss Ruby Sanford, of course, is who we're talking
exactly.
about.
Exactly, Miss Ruby Sanford, our aunt, our daddy's sister, and she taught how many years, Steve?
46.
46 years. I asked her. I stopped down there. I love to stop and talk to her and Uncle John D. And I said, "Aunt Ruby, what's the biggest change in your life?" She said, I don't have to look at my watch. So when I retired, I took my watch off.
Now, if she was still around in this day and time, one of the biggest changes, of course, was what's going on in the classroom.
Exactly.
Because you guys have seen what I call the best of times in the schools.
Yes.
And as it has gone on, it has become tougher. It's become, to me, it's changed so much because I can remember how the teachers, we looked up to them.
Exactly.
I mean, I remember every teacher I ever had
yes.
and what they did for
yes.
me.
Mm-hmm. And today, even before I retired, many of my students could not even remember half of the teachers that they had in their lifetime.
There seems to be something wrong with that.
Well, they've moved a lot, so of course the kids, you know, they
right.
couldn't keep up.
Do you think that's part of it, is changing where they grew up and the roots and knowing
sure,
everybody
I think so.
There? A more mobile society.
When I was at Oakland teaching driver training, I would ask a series of questions each time they drove, first time, second time, third time, mm-hmm. I wanted to learn about their heritage, where they were from, and fewer students of mine each year would have been born and raised in Rutherford County. So that's a change because we had so many people to move here and from different parts of the country, and I'm not saying that's bad, but it's just a change. It's a different environment, different values, different things that they were raised, and so that changed a lot. I never understood students that were not really wanted to come to school because I got up every morning and you look forward to one getting on our bus. I tell my students at Oakland, I would say that yellow limousine and we would do something different every day. We'd play Rook. We'd have a big Rook game and we'd finish it on the way home that afternoon.
Wow.
And you just look, and then when you got to school, it changed. You did something different. You visited fellowship before the bell. And you just had a big time. You learned. Mm-hmm. Of course, we got a bad rap at Kittrell, thinking because we had a good basketball team that that's all we did but play basketball. But they should have come out and just followed us every day and seen the very capable, loving teachers that we had. Mm-hmm. And all the other things that we participated. I mean, we had Beta Club, 4-H Club. Steve started a drama club, and we had plays all during the year. I mean, we had every opportunity. Now, we didn't have but one sport, and that was basketball. We didn't have all the other sports, but we had a big time.
Well, it seems like everybody was family, though, and that's one thing we were talking about before we went on the air. And Steve was admonishing me about one of the areas that we were talking about.
Yeah.
But basically, we had some kind of kinship all through the community.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
And everybody looked out for each other.
Exactly.
And if I went astray somewhere, one of your parents or whoever saw me out there was going to make sure that I stood up straight the way I was supposed to. And
indeed,
it was just a different time.
Yeah.
And you guys, you've got deep roots there. And you was talking about getting a bus. You guys were not very far from a school.
Oh, where no.
You 5 miles from school, but we rode the bus 17 miles morning and night.
We were 10 well, minutes by bus days. And 45, but we rode 45 minutes.
Yeah.
But you see, that we enjoyed that.
Well, it was a wonderful situation, I think, when you had the grades 1 through 12 schools, because the younger kids looked up to the older kids. And mm-hmm. even when you had the grades K through 8 schools, the 7th and 8th graders were very important in that school, and mm-hmm. the younger kids looked up to them. When I was going to school at Kittrell, the high school students were like movie stars to me, you know, and same on the bus. We rode the bus with all ages, and no one thought about, you know, being afraid of some older kid, because everybody was just, as you say, kind of like a family. And many were related, you know, many folks were related. Just like your family on Cripple Creek, the Caffeys, one of the oldest settlers, connected with the Goods and the Urys and the Mears and all those folks, you know, that was just part of the fabric of the earth.
Yeah, since you mentioned one of the names, Mr. Lofton Urey, we want to say that we're thinking about.
Exactly.
Him. I mean, really, exactly. Really one of the nicest people, and I guess he's one of the cornerstones of that area.
Yeah.
Yes.
And we're all, of course, I'm related to a lot of them, but your farm, just recently, you guys made a decision on the farm. And tell us what you're exactly doing with it.
Well, the farm that my mother owned and mm-hmm. my father on Cripple Creek came through his family. My mother owned a similar aged farm where my nephew lives at Porterfield, but the farm on Cripple Creek was bought on July the 4th, 1846, by an ancestor of ours named Isaac McGill. The McGills were part of a huge migration of people that came from the Rowan County, North Carolina area, including the Murrays, mm-hmm. some of your ancestors, the Lyonses, the Robinsons, McCrarys, and McCaslins, and so forth. And they came about 1800. Well, Isaac McGill's father, and his father's cousin, both named David, were in the War of 1812. And he bought this property on July the 4th, 1846, and died 2 years later. But he had left a daughter. And through that daughter, then we came down through our grandmother Cates and then down to our father. And we have placed the original 118 acres of that farm under the easements of the Land Trust of Tennessee, which means that the property can never be developed. Two houses can be built on the property, one being the house that's there now, part of it an original log cabin that was there in 1846, and then it can be used for agricultural purposes in hundreds of different ways. Much of Cripple Creek is part of that farm, so that preserves that part of Cripple Creek too. So we're very pleased with that and appreciate the Land Trust for what they're doing. It was started by Governor Bredesen. They have hundreds and hundreds and thousands of acres now a part of it throughout the whole Tennessee area.
Why do you think our particular generation is so interested in the history of this community? It seems like it's gotten stronger over the last 10 or 15 years.
Well, we went through a period where people wanted new, and that happens through a lot of periods of time in history. I know the old poster beds, the beautiful cherry and walnut beds, mm-hmm. were used for kindling when iron beds came in. People wanted, you know, the new. And I think that's always been true, but I think there is a reoccurrence. I don't know how I can pinpoint that. I know we lost a lot of our treasured buildings. The James K. Polk Hotel, for instance, was a terrible loss to our community. But there, we've kept a lot, too. And now we do have, as you say, a resurgence. I think one thing that's helpful to us here is the Department of Historic Preservation at MTSU. We are so fortunate to have that. And if you'll look at their graduates, you know, you go to John Lodell, who is our county historian, and we have our archives through the hard work of Susan Daniel and others here in our county. And we've made some accomplishments because of certain individuals, and then because, as you say, people are intrigued with old things and old ways and so forth.
Yeah, it's almost like you start reading some of these books they've written, and we're walking on hallowed ground right here.
That's exactly
in Rutherford
right.
County, because there's
exactly
so many right. things that happen here that were instrumental in how our country was formed.
Well, the Trail of Tears came through here, you know. It followed a couple of different routes, but it came through here. The old military road, before any settlers came across Robinson Ridge, up above Burke's Hollow, and down this way. Many people along the way have looked for Old Fort Nash, which was an old fort that was on that military road before settlers came. We have a lot of our areas here connected with the history of Native Americans. Mm-hmm. We have one of the most visited Civil War battlefields here. And we are, you know, it's hard to move anywhere without you run into a story or a tale or a part of a building or a building that's been preserved.
Readable Mill, we talked about that earlier. That's an example. And of course, if you want to just bring it right back to on the square of Murfreesboro and the preservation, I think it's wonderful that we've kept our courthouse and buildings around and have really spiffed up, I think, and looked ahead as far as keeping things like it should be around the square and everything. I think it's important too.
I don't remember the exact number, but out of 95 courthouses, I believe there are only five, I might be off one or two there, that are original. And ours, of course, is one. And you may remember, I do, in the 1950s, the big argument about whether they would tear it down and build a new one or update it.
Yeah.
And they decided, quite fortunately, to update. And what they added, the north wing and the south wing, using old brick, has certainly blended in, and you hardly know that it's there.
Well, we've seen so many of the schools that raised us to be what we are right now. Most of them are gone.
It's a disgrace. Yeah. It's a disgrace in this county that those schools were torn down. Now, I'm not talking about as they've been added to and new buildings have been built, but I'm talking about schools like Kittrell's that were just abandoned for vandals and destruction almost with the consent of the county authorities. It would have made a wonderful facility for the community if it had only been kept. One example of that is the Leanna School, which until recently has certainly been used by the community. We could have had that same thing at Kittrell. And not only was the original building torn down, but we had a whole section of classrooms that were good, that could have been well used, and they were all bulldozed down. It's pitiful. And then we went down, as I don't know if y'all talked about this before, but we went down to the old farm where the new Kittrell School is, and the first thing they did, they tore down all the trees, they tore down the old wooden barn, the log barn, and the log house. As Ben said, at that time, we had our own
Discovery House right there.
And yet, that was the first thing that was done. It was all obliterated. And think how wonderful that could have been for teachers and students at Kittrell to have gone down to see, you know, to have set up a little museum of sorts where they could follow the way that people used to live. It's terrible. Now, that was an obliteration of history. We're talking about holding on to things, but that was a terrible destruction of history.
And you think something that meant as much as our schools and our neighborhood stores back then, but especially the schools. I remember when Central changed, and what did they do? They threw away all of our pictures.
They did. They junked them. They took them down to the science department and junked them, hoping that people, and people did take them, and that's, I mean, it's in retrospect, it's good that people did take some of them because they have been preserved somewhere. That was terrible, terrible to do away with the whole history of that school just because a new type of school was moving in.
And to see them now, you have to have a headache or something to go at re-sane, and they're all around the walls.
Well, I mean, as I say, it's great that those people did preserve them.
Oh, it was super. And I think
because they were jumped. They were put in in a lot of those classrooms over there and just jumped. And all that history. And some of that was done at Kittrell School, too. Some of our things were not moved down to the new building, and I guess they're all torn away or burned up or whatever.
You know, we've got the Rutherford County Historical Society here, and of course they've done a great job. Greg Tucker,
Greg's really articles are unbelievable. Yeah. He's a great historian,
yes,
and a great writer. And Susan Daniel, you know, and you could name people that are in the business of holding on. And of course, we've lost some of our real historians. Lurleen Rushing was one of the best ones, and we've lost her in the last two or three years.
And of course, we've got the school that they've preserved,
yes,
here. But wouldn't it have been great if they had done that to Kittrell? Because it really wasn't a very large school.
No.
Look at all the things that they could have preserved.
Exactly.
The life of that time.
But, you see, the one thing that Rutherford County does not have, and it's a disgrace, again, that we don't have it, and that is a museum. You have people still living here who have artifacts in their homes that go back to Captain William Lytle, Colonel Hardy Murphy, and yet there's no place here for them to put them. They don't want to give them to their children who live in faraway states, but they don't have any choice. They can give them to the state library, where no one will ever see them again once they disappear into the bowels of the library, because of course the library doesn't state museum, but the state museum doesn't have enough space to display unlimited kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
But we have no museum. Now we've got that school, but it's not set up to be a museum, and
no,
it needs lots and lots and lots of work if it's going to be one, but we don't see the need for that. That's not considered, even though the renewed interest you're talking about is here. We don't see the money given, you see, mm-hmm, to establish that kind of thing.
How would we go about establishing a museum that would be able to hold the type of artifacts that we're talking about and the numbers? Because I'm sure that all these societies that are established here would probably be able to work with someone.
Well, I think you've got to have some start. And I think that, you know, it's going to be some of that old bad government money that everybody worries about, you know, that we don't need to be doing anything with. But think of what that money could be used to provide for the future.
I believe we've got a caller on the line, Steve and Ben. So, caller, welcome aboard.
Good morning. How you all doing?
Good morning, Casey.
I tell you, I want to tell the gentleman right there, I can hear it in your voice. I feel the same way. It's a shame how we let so much historical stuff get away. You know, just yesterday I was out at Halls Hill Pike, and there's a school out there, and it just come to me about getting a picture of it, because the first place I ever played music at was right there. But that's history, like the gentleman said.
Yes.
Those places need to be kept and took care of.
Yes. And if we don't do it now, it never will be done.
Yes, sir. That is the truth.
And
it's a shame, because lots of places, I remember, like he's saying, it was a place that we talk about history of this county and whatever, and like I say, so-called new things, so-called, came to town, and just thrown, I mean, I walked the hill in places, just thrown old stuff away just like it was nothing. And I really appreciate you standing up for that, sir. Y'all have a good day.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Bradley School, Bradley Academy, is one good example. You know, we've talked about things we've lost, and I did say we had a lot of things we've kept. And the people that have worked on Bradley Academy have done a wonderful job right over here preserving it.
Well, we're in an era right now where things are changing constantly, and the communication is with a little device or whatever. People don't seem to be able to relate to each other like they used to. We got another caller on the line. Caller, welcome aboard with Steve Cates and Ben Cates.
Yes, sir. You're talking about a museum for Murfreesboro. The Chamber of Commerce or the Welcome Center out on Medical Center Parkway, great place for it. Everybody coming into town, right there, they could see it.
That's a good idea.
Yeah,
a new building out there.
It would be.
That would be great. But we got to have a nucleus. It's just like the Arts Center in Cannon County, which serves people from all over the state and the area. You've got to have a nucleus of money. John Bragg got the nucleus of money from the state of Tennessee to start that, and then other people gave, and I think that would happen here.
And I think we've got a community that would welcome
us. I do too.
Okay, we have another caller on the line. Caller, welcome aboard with Steve Cates and Ben Cates.
Yeah, this is Floyd Barks.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I know Mr. Cates, Ben Cates. He knows my wife, Janet Burks.
Yes, sir.
I went to school at Kittrell, and I can remember a lot of that about Kittrell School back there. I went there in the first grade. I'm a Burks, and my dad and his brothers all went to school out there.
Yes, sir. Good memories.
And my dad, he used to live with Uncle Dave Macon out there and went to school with him.
Oh, you go way back then.
Yeah, and he stayed with Mr. Porterfield, too, when they had the store out there.
Oh, yeah. Remember the Porterfield store?
Yeah, I was listening. I heard Ben on that. Yeah. I was going to give him a holler.
Okay. Thank you a lot for calling, and say hello to Janet.
All right,
we'll
see you, Ben. Okay. Okay, guys, don't take the ears off. We have another caller on the line. Caller, welcome aboard. Well, we did. I guess Ben was talking too long. Got it back? Okay. Caller, welcome aboard.
Good morning.
Good morning.
This is Clarence Brandon calling from Kittrell.
Clarence Brandon.
Yeah, you have two of the finest men from Kittrell in the NKC case.
I'm surprised you're through with your barn work. How did you have time to make this call?
I was calling to tell Ben that he needs to be invited back for another day, not this day, to talk about the recreation program that he started many, many years ago, about 40 years ago, and still exists today, and it's one of the best programs in Middle Tennessee. So not today, but call him back one day and talk about that program.
Thank you. That's a good idea.
Thank you, Mr. Brandon. I appreciate you saying that.
We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with Steve and Ben Cates.
The Outpost Armory is not just another gun store. Our staff has hands-on knowledge and experience with firearms, self-defense training, hunting, and competitive shooting. We cater to the new gun owner and the expert looking for that hard-to-find product. We carry items that the big chain stores don't and have bulk ammunition for the high-volume shooter. We defend the Second Amendment and help responsible citizens protect their families, rights, and liberties. Visit us in person or online at theoutpostarmory.com. The Outpost Armory, I-24 East at Exit 89 in Murfreesboro.
So, what if you're walking out to your car after work and it's been mashed by a runaway garbage truck? We've got an agent for that. Having your own State Farm agent means having a real person there to help you when things go wrong. So when accidents happen, you've got someone you know who will be there when you need them. I'm Jeannie Allman, and I'm that State Farm agent.
Get to a better State Farm.
I'm State Farm agent Jeannie Allman at 896-2013.
Weather Eye.
We'll see cloudy conditions and a chance for some spotty showers today. Expect a mild high temperature near 62 degrees. And we'll have more clouds tonight with lows near 53. I'm WGNS meteorologist Sam Deneisty. Right now, it's 54.
That update brought to you by Bosch Appliances. Bosch Appliances are ranked highest in customer satisfaction with dishwashers by J.D. Power & Associates. Find great deals on ultra-quiet Bosch dishwashers at your local Bosch dealer. J.D. Power & Associates 2012 Kitchen Appliance Satisfaction Study.
This is Good Neighbor Events, brought to you by Omni Hut Restaurant in Smyrna, the Rutherford Home Show, Saturdays at noon on WGNS, and AmeriCare Pest Control.
This is Josh at South Branch Nursery, your full-service, one-stop garden center open to everyone. We have 10.5 acres of combined plant material, mulches, landscape stone, and lawn decor. Want to grow a garden this spring? Now is a great time to layer it for winter, and we have everything from straw to compost to ensure your garden is successful. We even offer snow removal and ice melt application. This is Josh inviting you to come visit our South Church Street location just off I-24 past Indian Hills Golf Course, or give us a call at 893-4030.
It's time for WGNS Good Neighbor Events as we look ahead at the coming weekend. This coming Friday night will be the Chamber of Commerce 2013 Business at its Best over at the Embassy Suites Hotel and Conference Center. You don't want to miss this one. As the business legend, the business person of the year, along with Leadership Rutherford's Pinnacle Award, they're all presented this Friday night. And the fun begins at 6 o'clock. Right now, call the Chamber of Commerce at 893-6565. And also Friday night at 6, national singer and songwriter Andrew Peterson will perform at Believer's Chapel here in Murfreesboro. That's 6 o'clock this coming Friday night. And this coming Saturday from 10 until 5, a Good For You, Healthy Fun on the Run exhibit opens at the Discovery Center at Murphy Spring. And also this coming Saturday afternoon, the Linebaugh Public Library presents a Black History Month presentation at 2 o'clock. Murfreesboro native Devorah Butler will be speaking about her book African Americans in Rutherford County. That's 2 o'clock this coming Saturday at the Linebaugh Library. And be sure to bring those new blankets to be given to the homeless by WGNS at 306 South Church Street. Since 1940, your first choice for air conditioning and heating repairs has been Roscoe Brown. Now, when you have plumbing problems, it's also Roscoe Brown. You can depend on Roscoe Brown for any type of plumbing service and innovative plumbing solutions. Roscoe Brown is fully licensed, bonded, and insured, and fully qualified to assist with heating, air conditioning, and now plumbing. Roscoe Brown. Phone 888-MY-ROSCOE.
We're here with Dr. Rishi Saxena, this area's only physician certified in heart CT.
We were one of the earliest to start, and we started doing it before most of the hospital in Nashville.
And while others have acquired it, only Dr. Saxena knows how to use the information.
They don't have people to read it, or they have no experience in dealing with it.
Call 896-4800 to also schedule a test with Dr. Saxena to detect calcium deposits in arteries. It's only $60. No insurance claims will be filed.
Southern Community Bank, unlike all the rest. Beverly Barker, branch manager.
Southern Community Bank is a strong, independent community partner with a simple philosophy. Keep banking hassle-free for people who just want to be treated well.
We're unlike all the rest. Our services are intuitive. Our team is friendly. Our approach is refreshing. And our service is clearly unique.
We're located at 1950 Old Fort Parkway, next to the DoubleTree Hotel.
Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
WGNS Murfreesboro, WTVLP Murfreesboro, W263 AI Murfreesboro, W270 AF Murfreesboro. Local news, fast, first, now. You've known him for years. Now you can visit with him every day. It's The Truman Show, continuing right now on WGNS AM and FM.
And welcome back with Steve and Ben Cates. And this part of their show is brought to you by Charlie Pitts Hairstyling on Las Casas Pike, providing quality haircuts and styling for men, women, and children. Call 895-3997, 895-3997 for Charlie Pitts Hairstyling. It's not just a haircut. Let me tell you, it's a real experience, guys. I mean, you get to listen to the guitar going, and you get to hear a few nice little jokes, and it is. It's fun.
Charlie's a good stylist.
He is a good stylist. One of the best.
Yeah, he was the first stylist in this area.
Yeah, he's
the first one to really style hair.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. Now we're going to have a lot of nostalgia going around here. We need to make his place a historical place. Well, this is where hairstyling first started.
Yeah, could be.
Now, you guys have been part of what I call the best career possible. It used to be where all of the students wanted to end up was in the classroom, and it was the place that, you know, you could change people's lives, you could make them successful. You became friends with all of them. They remember you for the rest of their lives, and it's starting to change in the classroom some from what you guys experienced, hasn't it?
It's changed. I think as we talked earlier during the break, I guess one of the biggest changes besides people moving here and bringing different types of values and ideas, which there's nothing wrong with that. New ideas would be good, but it changes the scope of where we came from and how you thought in this area. Like the number one industry in Rutherford County used to be farming. There's probably 200 or 300 dairies, small dairies, and I don't know whether we've got maybe 8 or 10 now.
I don't believe that many.
But I think if you had to just point your finger at one thing that has really changed the scope and the atmosphere and every other adjective that you could use in our classrooms now, would be testing. You've got to, you know, the pendulum, I think it's just swung too far. I know we we started talking about accountability early in my teaching career, and I don't think that any teacher worth their salt is against accountability. But trying to measure that is so difficult. And somebody, I don't know who that person is, I say they're probably laying around in the sands in Honolulu, thought up this thing of testing and probably made millions, if not billions, on it. I don't know where the first idea came from, but we've gone to the point. I've got a lot of teachers that work for me in county recreation in the summer months and afternoons and weekends during the winter, and a lot of creative people. I know out at Buckhannon, I've got a young lady out there. Suzanne is very creative. I stopped there one day during the summer, and she was having a talent show. And those kids were just doing talents and doing, and every time you stop, it's something different. But what worries me about the testing and the things that they've got to check off each day, if a child comes in Suzanne's classroom one morning and something has happened to them on the way there that they'd like to share and talk about, and she can take that and build on what they're talking about that day, wouldn't that be great?
Yeah, it would.
But she can't do that anymore, simply because she's got to follow a list of things that will get her students to make a good score at the end of the school year in testing. The creativity has been sucked out of education. I don't mean all of it, but I think a lot of it has been sucked out of education. And I think a lot of those things, in talking to a lot of teachers that work for me, testing has really put a burden not only on the teacher, but can you imagine the stress that's on young folks, second, third, fourth graders, that are getting ready for a test that is so much credibility, and whether they're successful or not, to me, is just not really good.
Well, and the general public, including parents, the general public does not realize the time that testing takes. It's not only the test, but it's how to take the test. It's practicing the test. And you spend hours and hours and hours of school time on those logistics and mechanics instead of the real teaching that good teachers are ready to do and want to do and can do. As Ben said, the creativity is diminished. The chance to do things that we did, field trips and guest speakers and special projects and special activities and those kinds of things, just really don't have a big part in our schools today, and that's very, very sad. The joy of a teacher and the importance of a teacher is not in regimenting, but of course we have to have some general rules and regulations, but it is allowing that teacher to be creative in whatever way. As Ben and I look back on, and you look back on, the teachers that we had, they were different in many ways, and yet they did a lot to help us, and we learned. And whole idea of No Child Left Behind is insulting to teachers, because it insinuates that teachers were trying to leave kids behind. Now, I had some students that left themselves behind. Also, we're obsessed with this idea of everybody graduating, you know. Well, that's great. I wish everybody could finish whatever school they want to finish. But if you haven't met some general requirements, if you haven't learned to study and pass what you need to pass, turn in what you need to turn in, we can do any kind of mechanics we want to do and make it happen. But if they haven't learned what they need to learn, it's not going to matter.
It's almost like they're driving a wedge between the teacher and the students in there.
That's right.
You could almost put a robot in there and do the same thing, except it's probably going to wear that robot out.
And principals are obsessed with, you know, making a certain score. And also people would be very surprised to learn how low a score you actually have to make to pass some of these tests. Many times the students who have passed don't have the incentive to move on, because teachers are so obsessed with what they have to do down here with those that really didn't try in the first place.
We've got another caller on the line. Caller, welcome aboard with Steve and Ben Cates.
Yes, this is Steve McNabb this morning.
Hey, Steve.
You've got two of my dearest friends on there, and also you, Truman.
Well, thank you for including me, Steve.
think I put you in an upper echelon of the Cripple Creek crew, huh?
Oh, man.
But I did, of course, we were raised up together on, well, all three of us, but Ben and Steve and I were raised up on Cripple Creek. And
your daddy used to crank up that baler and make those bales heavier and laugh at us when we had trouble picking them up.
Yeah, I think all four of us can testify to that this morning.
You're exactly right.
A lot of hay hauling, didn't we, Steve?
That's right. But I just wanted to call in and say, what a good job you're doing, and it's good to hear the historical information from them, and they're good fellas, good family. So, like I say, I just want to call in this morning and say hi, and appreciate all y'all have done.
Thank you, Steve. And tell Mama hey for us.
All right, we will. She's doing a little better.
Good.
The McNabs were good friends of Mr. and Ms. McNabb, and my parents were big Rook players. They had Rook parties, and, of course, we were involved with them and walking horses and all kinds of things. We had milk barns like they both of us did. And
when Steve and I every now and then were kind of slow in the mornings and missed the bus, every now and then, maybe on purpose, because we knew that the second bus was coming down the road. Maybe driving a little fast, but we would go down, and we knew Miss McNabb would pick us up. And we might have to ride in the back of the truck, which was fine. That didn't bother us. But we knew Steve and Miss McNabb would be coming, and I'd hear that car coming around the curve, and I'd say, well, here she comes, and we would ride in. But another thing that I remember Steve calling like that, one day, I got up enough nerve to saddle up and ride my horse to Steve's up at Donald's Chapel. Mm-hmm. And we put the horse in a stable, and we played all day. Of course, Miss Oma fixed us a big meal, and Hall would come in, you know, and we'd talk and everything. And we weren't really big enough to get out and do a lot of work, but I was finally got up enough nerve, and Daddy let me ride up there with horseback. But Steve and I played. But one story that I like to tell on Steve, when he came down to spend the day with me one day.
I was going
to
tell that story.
And so Mother would cook those homemade French fries and, of course, your own ground round meat. You know, you killed your own beef.
Oh, yeah.
And she was frying those cheeseburgers, and Steve came through, and he called Mother Mimi, didn't he? Or, what did he call Mother Steve? I think Mimi. He said, Mimi, what are you cooking? And she said, well, I'm cooking cheeseburgers. And he said, just make that two for me. I'll never forget him saying that. And I thought, my heavens, two cheeseburgers. But he ate all of every bit of it. And, of course, we always had one thing. It's my mother's fault that I have to have something sweet after every meal. Mm-hmm. Because for breakfast, you had homemade jams and jellies and preserves. Mm-hmm. For lunch, you had, say, a chocolate meringue pie with meringue on it about that tall, about a couple of inches, and that night you finished the pie.
Or maybe she'd have fresh cookies made when we got home from school.
Tea cake cookies with chocolate icing on them. I hadn't had that in 20 years. But anyway, people wonder why I have dessert at the end of every meal. Well, Mother created that, and I'm still doing that habit of just a little something sweet. She would always have a little something sweet. And another thing that I remember, and that is, if she cut the pie and a little piece fell off, she gave that to Daddy. The pie had to be perfect when she put it on the plate to give it to Steve or I. And, of course, that created problems
for your daddy.
No. He took the haggle piece, and we got the straight piece. And, of course, that created a little problem later on in our lives when I would tell my wife not to haggle the pie. Well, you know, that didn't go over too well. She didn't like that.
Oh,
but, of course, again, Mother created that haggling of the pie. We got a perfect piece of pie or cake every time she cut it for us. So.
Mamie, that's what they
Mamie,
call Mother.
Yeah, Mamie. It wasn't Mamie, it was Mamie.
Now, your dad drove the bus some.
Yeah, later in life, he drove the bus.
Yeah, uh-huh. And there is actually a bridge over there named for your father.
It is. It was.
If I remember right, the sign is a little bit bigger on that one than it is on Larry Stewart's sign in Las Casas.
Well,
I'm not
starting
that.
Larry, I'm sure we'll get a call here. Man. I've never put a yardstick to it. Of course, Larry Stewart is a very good friend of mine, so we haven't compared the two, but there, that is a thought. Larry and I maybe should go down and measure that this afternoon. But one thing that pleased us so much, Truman, about the naming of that bridge mm-hmm. was that we did not ask for that. I know somebody from the state, and that, of course, we know it came from John Bragg, mm-hmm. and Daddy and John Bragg were in the same Sunday school class, and Daddy really and Mr. Bragg thought a lot of one another. They were very good friends. Of course, as you know, John
Bragg... They both meant a lot to this community.
Well, and, you know, John Bragg knew more about the finances of the state of Tennessee.
Yes.
He could just quote something 20 years ago or yesterday. But anyway, we got a call one day and really didn't quite understand the call at the beginning and put two and two together, but that happened by us not requesting, but from, I'm sure, John Bragg, and that really made us feel good that that was done.
That's quite an honor.
It really is. It really was. And it's an honor for Larry Stewart. I've had people that don't know the situation at Las Casas, like the three of us knows it, but somebody asked me something about the naming, a little unusual, you know, principal, and he didn't live out there. And I said, let me just give you a story. I said, when Larry Stewart was principal at Las Casas, if there was a cattle got out on the road or something, mm-hmm. and there was danger, especially back in the high school days, he would get his vehicle and load up some high school guys. Mm-hmm. He would carry some stuff in his truck. He would not only get up the cattle for safety purposes, mm-hmm. they would fix the fence while they were there and then come back and go back to school. And I said, do I need to say anything else about why his name is on the... And they said, oh, no, you've explained it. And, of course, that... And you say, well, what has that got to do with education? It's got a lot to do with education. Mm-hmm. You see what he was teaching those guys?
Yeah.
Help people in your community. And it won't hurt to get dirty. We'll clean it up when we get back to school, and everything will be all right. And he didn't have to call everybody. He didn't have to call the parents. He didn't have to fill out a form. He didn't have to check with the central office. He just made a decision and did something good for the community, and that's why, exactly like it should be, his name is on that bridge now.
There are a lot of successful people walking around in this community just because of Larry Stewart.
Exactly.
Because he would not give up on that.
Exactly. He was far, you know, we talk, I don't know what they call them now, but we used to call them at risk. Mm-hmm. Now, back then, probably another name. Mm-hmm. But Larry Stewart looked at anybody, I don't care young or old, mm-hmm. but he would look at that student, and he didn't matter what kind of clothes they had on, what their parents did, how much, or what kind of house. It did not matter to Larry Stewart. Mm-hmm. He was there to help that child succeed, and that's the name of education, is to help that child succeed.
When you interrupt the relationship between people, it really does mess the whole system up.
Relationships.
You got that in the schools. Mm-hmm. You know, I remember when I was about 7 years old, maybe, TV first came out.
Mm-hmm.
And that little devil,
yep.
it was, you would sit in front of it and watch the pattern, the test pattern,
yeah,
and
yeah,
whatever,
yeah.
and wait for something, the howdy doody or
yeah,
whatever.
Howdy doody.
Come on.
Mm-hmm. Western Corral.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, you weren't spending as much time with each other because there was something a little bit more interesting you thought on
yeah.
that little television.
Yeah.
And we've gotten so far. I mean, you've got the kids today running around with these little gadgets in their hand.
Mm-hmm.
They don't talk to anybody. I mean, they may text them or whatever, mm-hmm. but we have lost the art of communication and enjoying each other's company. We really have.
And they have to have life coaches. I want somebody to tell me what a life coach is.
Pettus Reed had an article in the News Journal this morning that says exactly what you're saying. He talked about going to a ball game, probably Middles game,
mm-hmm.
and he took away from the game a little while and watched people. He's a people person, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And he was amazed at the number of people that were not even looking up at the game. And then he talked on and related that to it. But now, the week before school started, when my children were young, and our vacation was to load up everything in the old truck, horses and toys and everything, and go to Porterfield. Nobody lived over there at the time, where Mother was raised, and we spent a week over there. No electricity, no TV, no radio, no anything. We sat out on the porch at night till the house cooled down like they used to, and then we'd go to bed. We just walked and rode horses and everything. And we came home that Saturday afternoon. And I'll never forget, you know, you go home, and of course, first thing you do is, you know, everybody get their showers and everything. And I thought, you know, I've got a porch on my front. And I'm going to go out and sit on the porch. And I opened the door, and that heat hit me, and I shut the door back. And I thought, air conditioning. You talked about the TV. Air conditioning has run us in. And see, I didn't want to get back out on the front porch because it was cooler inside than outside. And there's another difference that we went through. The air conditioning changed a lot of things in our lives.
We didn't even have air conditioning in school.
Oh no. We'd come to Murfreesboro, and I remember the dime store, Woolworths, and I would go make a circle in there and look at things and go back out because I was so cold. It was so cold in Woolworths. It was uncomfortable to me. I didn't know what air conditioning was.
You know, we were talking earlier, and we mentioned, I think, off the air, how Kittrell was a breeding ground for educators. They were educators all over that community. And it was just... it was something special when you,
so many of the teachers that we had gone to school at Kittrell, were from that community. Or he married someone, like our second grade teacher, Ms. Early. She was from Soddy or Daisy, I don't know which, but she married Mr. Mike Early, who was raised down the road from Kittrell.
I tell you what, I can, almost every teacher did something for me special. Whether it was in the classroom with a paddle in their hand or whatever. I mean, the relationship was there because I knew that they were there for me. And they were there to make my life better. And it's something that I don't know if we're going to be able to continue to have that if we can't have the response between teacher and
if
student.
If we make it so mechanical, you know, so such a checkoff list, that's not the way to do it.
I remember Miss Martha Moon Holmes. She was my fourth grade teacher, and I remember her standing behind the podium, and she said to us, my nickname is Hawkeye. Now, we're fourth graders, so we believe that, and she said, I've got eyes in the back of my head. And then when I was going into the sixth grade that fall, they made an announcement. They'd made some room changes, and they said that we would go back to where our fourth grade room was. And of course, a lot of people got edgy because they said, now, Ben, does that mean we've got Ms. Hall? I said, no, Ms. Holmes is in fourth grade. I said, it's just a change of rooms. I said, don't worry about it, no problem. Well, we walked in and there was nobody around. We got to looking around, you know, and in walked Ms. Holmes. She said, you thought you were rid of me, didn't you? And everybody, of course, looked at me, you know, I popped off. Well, of course, see, I look back now, and she was a great teacher. She was a disciplinarian. I remember one day she pulled all the blinds and she turned the lights off, and she got a globe and a flashlight, and she was teaching daylight over here, dark over here. And see, I still remember that because she gave an example and had an analogy that everybody could remember. And she was just a great teacher, and I could start with first grade, go all the way through. Ms. Ogino, who sort of kind of moved in, if you will, and just a wonderful teacher.
She was one of the first guidance counselors in Rutherford County, and it started, she had a big round table in the corner of the English room, and she had a box. And that box was the first guidance materials that were sent out for her to use for guidance.
And everybody felt comfortable in going to Ms. Ogino and sitting down and talking about anything, and she would help that student and guide that student in decision-making on what they were there, had a question or a problem, and just wanted somebody to talk to. And she always, her door was always open for anybody.
You know, they made learning fun. They really did back then.
It did, and we were talking about the principals a while ago. The principals feel the pressure because they've got to take all of those notebooks and everything that's got the scores and meet with the superintendent of schools, and they feel the pressure. Well, your director of schools feel the pressure because the state has got to come in. You know, we're talking about now vouchers, and if this school doesn't perform, we'll give you something, you go somewhere else. Now, see, there's just so much pressure on from the top to the bottom of trying to perform and show something here on a test score that a lot of the fun, like, let's just go back to Ms. Ogino with her door open. Think of how she directed and helped children make decisions mm-hmm. on what they should and should not do.
Right.
Now you say, well, what's that got to do with making an A in math? Well, which is more important?
Yeah.
Life or making an A in math? You need to think about that. So there you go.
Ms. Ogino is still living today. Mrs. Nancy McNabb and Ms. Oma McNabb are the three teachers that I had, and I was fortunate to be able to work with all three of them when I started teaching. And one a great loss that I had at Riverdale was when Ms. Ogino retired, because I had had her there to go to discuss things as a teacher, just like I had when I was a student at Kittrell, and she was my teacher.
And we lost Ms. Sandell McCrary just recently.
We lost her just recently. She was one of our teachers.
Very sweet lady. Very sweet lady.
Very creative.
You know, I remember, I think it was Ms. Evans that let us listen to the World Series. I mean, we were shut down on everything. Of course, there wasn't TV back then.
No.
And we would get to listen to the World Series. Mm-hmm. And to show you how you learn, I remember every baseball player that played for the Dodgers and the Yankees back then. So yeah.
You knew who Stan Musial was, and he died.
Oh, yes. We just lost him. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with Steve and Ben Cates.
With million-dollar lawsuits and drastic increases in court costs, are you adequately insured? We can remove the fear of an unforeseen lawsuit with an umbrella liability policy from Auto Owners Insurance. We'll recommend personal and business protection that meets today's needs. I'm Doran Claiborne with Claiborne & Taylor Insurance. Come by our office at 319 West McKnight Drive or give us a call at 893-5064. Ask us about no problem protection through Auto Owners.
You can depend on Claiborne & Taylor.
Everyone loves Stones River Manor.
I really love this place, and it's been a wonderful place to live. They keep my laundry clean. They keep this room clean, and also I enjoy the activities. The food is just wonderful.
Stones River Manor, behind Rite Aid, at the intersection of Haines and Memorial. Stop by for a tour.
Toots. Hi, this is Wade Hayes, owner of Toots Restaurant, inviting you to visit one of our three locations here in Rutherford County. We have some delicious salads, and also one of our most popular menu items is grilled chicken on a stick. Two or three skewers, your choice, grilled fresh chicken, marinated overnight, and it's even served with broccoli if you like. At Toots, we're very proud of our menu and our menu prices and our daily specials. You can bring the whole family in and eat very reasonably at any of our three locations here in Rutherford County.
Good food and fun.
Weather-eye.
We'll see cloudy conditions and a chance for some spotty showers today. Expect a mild high temperature near 62 degrees, and we'll have more clouds tonight with lows near 53. I'm WGNS meteorologist Sam Deneisty. Right now it's 54.
To bag the deer of a lifetime, you have to be prepared. That's why you need to shop Murfreesboro Outdoors.
This is Randy at Murfreesboro Outdoors. We get camouflage clothes, shotguns, shells.
Murfreesboro Outdoors on Northwest Broad Street.
Middle Tennessee football and basketball games are right here. This is Chip Walters on Rutherford County's Blue Raider Station, WGNS Murfreesboro.
Let's go Blues!
He knows Rutherford County, and he knows the people of Rutherford County. Truman Jones, here on WGNS AM and FM.
And welcome back with Steve and Ben Cates, and this part of their show is brought to you by Murfreesboro Automotive. When you need car repairs, you want someone you can trust. Murfreesboro Automotive is that place. Chuck Haynes has a staff of certified technicians that can fix anything. From the simple oil change to major auto repair, Murfreesboro Automotive is the only place you need. Murfreesboro Automotive, turn off Broad between Chewy's and Chili's on to Ridgely Road. Well, guys, this has been a lot of fun. Is there anything that you want to add to anybody out there that might be listening or something that we may have missed that we should have been talking about?
Yeah, I'll add that I want people to set aside June the 9th through the 16th for International Folk Fest this year. We have good groups coming from Turkey, from Hungary, and from France. Also, our Cripple Creek Cloggers are starting a new season next Tuesday, a week from tomorrow night, 220 East Vine Street at 7 o'clock. If you want to do any dancing, learn to dance, or whatever, we're glad to have you. We're going to do some traveling this year, and we'd be glad to have people join us.
Now, how long have you guys been doing that? You started.
I've been doing the clogging for 46 years almost, and the festival is 31 years.
Wow.
We're always looking also for new volunteers for our festival, and in fact, I need one dinner meal and one breakfast meal for the group still. So if we have any civic groups or individuals that would like to contribute a meal or some money to buy a meal, then I'd be glad to have that help.
It's a great way to give, let people from other nations just see what we're all
That's
about
right.
and see what this country is
exactly.
really about. Because when they come here, they're really seeing America as best, right?
None
here.
Of them have ever been to Tennessee before. Most of them have never been to the U.S. before, and many of them will never come to the U.S. again. And most all of them will never come to Tennessee again. Mm-hmm. So what they get is a real dose of USA right here in Tennessee, which I think, as Ben said, is a great place for them to get it.
Do they stay with parents?
No,
or,
they not usually. We have gotten a small grant from the Tennessee Arts Commission to buy housing at MTSU, and they mm-hmm. have the MTSU housing is wonderful. The facilities are good. We have plenty of room for parking for our vans and so forth, and mm-hmm. it's worked out well. But in time past now, if we've had groups come early or stay late, we have had to call on people in the community to help us.
And it's great for our kids here. They get to travel all
yes,
over the
that's
world.
That's true. Yeah, we're going probably to Italy in July for 2 weeks.
Do you ever perform on television or anything like
well,
that
we
when
have,
you go
well,
in Europe and places
yes,
like that?
Yes, they do lots of TV tapings when we're at festivals in Europe, yes.
Ben, you've never gone, have you?
No, never gone.
You've always been tied up in sports and recreation.
Yeah,
and,
that's my entertainment.
And we're going to have to have you back on and talk about that.
Yeah, I'd be glad
that.
To. I'm
and
always...
We need Steve back on before we have the
festival
in June.
I'd be glad to do it.
So that's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Well, guys, it's been a great show.
Yeah,
I enjoyed it.
Thank you.
Yeah,
fun.
Felt like old home week today.
Exactly.
In fact, we'll have Greg Tucker on in the morning, so we'll
oh,
look
well.
At it a little
That'll
bit.
That'll be continuing
yeah.
about the history.
It
though.
Will be. See you guys in the morning at
okay.
9 o'clock.
Here's Frank LePetri, pastor of Holly Grove Baptist Church.
What would one give in exchange for a new iPad? One 17-year-old boy gave a kidney. Apparently, he couldn't afford an iPad and wanted one so badly that he was willing to risk the surgery. Stephen, in Acts chapter 7, took a serious risk, but it was for proclaiming the good news about Jesus. While performing miracles, he was seized and brought before the high priest. Stephen took a risk and preached a sermon. He said that throughout Israel's history, the nation had repeatedly rejected God's message, and now they had rejected the Messiah. Stephen's sermon provoked a strong reaction from the people, who cast him from the city and stoned him. This is Frank LePetri, pastor of Holly Grove Baptist Church. Why would Stephen risk his life to preach about Jesus? He desperately wanted his hearers to know that because of Jesus' death and his resurrection, they no longer needed to live under the law, but could live under grace and forgiveness.
Money for city schools. I'm Ron Jordan with local news from WGNS. The City Schools Foundation presented a $30,000 check to Murfreesboro City Schools. The sum represents this year's parity dollar grant, benefiting the diverse population of students at compromised Murfreesboro City Schools. Additionally, the City Schools Foundation presented over $45,000 to teachers in Murfreesboro City Schools for science, math, and technology grants. Excellence in Education, the Foundation's major fundraising campaign, scheduled for Friday, February 8th at the Stones River Country Club. If you need more information, go to cityschoolsfoundation.com. There is a link at wgnsradio.com. The news brought to you by Dr. Mark Kester, Chiropractic and Acupuncture Center. I'm brought across from Chevrolet of Murfreesboro. For more than 20 years, Dr. Mark Kester has helped thousands of your friends and neighbors find relief from pain. For free consultation, call 895-1253. Murfreesboro Fire and Rescue Departments District 8, Engines 1 and 4, Ladder 6, and Rescue 7 responded to an apartment fire at 1710 East Northfield Boulevard at King's Crossing just after 9:30 Sunday morning. When they got there, District 8 discovered heavy flames from the downstairs apartment window.
Crews were able to get the fire out quickly. The damage was mainly contained to apartment 01 in the bedroom area. However, the upstairs apartment received some smoke damage as well. Meters to both apartments were pulled, and the American Red Cross assisted the residents. No injuries reported during the incident. A high-speed chase this weekend resulted in a wreck in front of MTSU. The suspect being chased was apprehended despite leaving the scene. He's facing multiple charges, including hurting his girlfriend and locking her in a closet of her home in Walter Hill. 47-year-old suspect Landron Trammer also accused of crashing into a couple of cars during that police chase. More news at facebook.com/WGNSradio. This is WGNS News.
You can go all the way at Ford of Murfreesboro Truck Country USA. Game season may be here, but there's no games at Ford of Murfreesboro. Right now, drive away in a new Ford F-150 for just $17,990. Not one, every new 2013 Ford F-150 with an MSRP of $24,665 is just $17,990. Also, get 0% financing for 60 months. Hurry to Ford of Murfreesboro, 1550 Northwest Broad Street, or visit fordofmurfreesboro.com.
I'm David Lee. Come see me at Ford of Murfreesboro.
It's now time for the Educator of the Month to be announced. Our newest Educator of the Month is Lamar Davis, an Algebra 2 and Geometry teacher at Riverdale. What made you decide to become an educator?
I was going to be a computer programmer, imagine that. But I wanted to coach sports and I wanted to teach math, and so that's how I ended up being a math teacher.
What do you enjoy most about working with students?
Trying to make a difference in young people's lives. Seeing a child, especially one that has not done well, reach higher goals that they've never reached before.
What achievements are you most proud of?
My three children.
What do you hope to accomplish before you retire?
I don't know, just continue to try to make a difference in every person that comes in my classroom's life and try to make them understand that it's not all about making grades, it's about learning and trying to grow and become a better person.
The Educator of the Month is brought to you by Toots, Good Food and Fun, Claiborne and Taylor Insurance, and City Tile and Floor Covering. Again, our Educator of the Month is Lamar Davis at Riverdale.